Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And men, we'll get together with Brother Joe after the service, and we'll really take care of him with all the good things he does. Amen? All the good things he does and how he teaches us to take care of our wives and all that good stuff. So we'll meet right after service and... Oh yeah, we're going to take care of him real good after the service. No more talking to my wife, you. She does. Went to a service last night, and it was a good Holy Ghost service. We enjoyed it. And when I went to give my offering, I had to say. So she gave me what she thought, and I put it. Didn't ask any questions, moved on. This will be my second time ministering to y'all. I think everybody knows me because I think I, except this gentleman right here, my name is Otis. I'm from Kaplan. And me and Sister Jelaine went to school together. So we pretty much grew up. We have a granddaughter together, and it's been wonderful. Now, if anybody falls asleep today, go ahead and just take your nap. I'll make sure either me or Pastor Joe will wake y'all up to go have lunch. Y'all won't miss lunch. Don't worry about it. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, use me today for your glory, Lord. I lift up all of me to you. I hand it over to you to do the work in my life today and tomorrow and forever. Also, your children, Lord, give them an open ear and an open heart, Lord, this morning to hear your word so it can fall on good ground, Lord, that it can prosper and they can go out and do what you commanded us to do, to preach to the world, to preach to the lost. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I started my last service with a song. I'm going to start this service with a song too. Listen to the words. It's a beautiful song. We first heard it in Monroe, Louisiana. Everywhere as we go on vacation, we go to church. First priority is to find out if we can go to church at that vacation. That's our first priority. Even on the boat, they had a service. So wherever we go, we look for a service. And y'all please listen to this song, and then I'll give y'all a testimony after. Amen.
I stood in the court. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up,
Your Honor.
I have no defense. And that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walking and pleading my case, called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented and covered my sin, forgiven. In mercy walking. I stood here and I wondered, how could this be? And someone so guilty had just been set free.
born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in. Pleaded my case. Called to the stand. God's saving grace. Was presented.
Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus walked in, when we become born again, He comes in and He lives in each and every one of us. What we forget, what I forget, I'm going to talk about me today. What I forget is He's living right here in me. His Spirit is with my spirit, and they are one spirit. Well, we forget these things. When trials and tribulations come up, we forget these things. We don't know how to handle things. And that is correct. We, as humans, don't know how to handle anything. But we forget that we have a God that lives in us, that knows everything, that knows everything. If y'all can turn to Matthew 6, verse 25, I'll give you all a second. We forget when people come our ways. We forget when we have troubles. That's when, like Brother Joe calls them, old slew foot. That's when that devil comes in. It's when we're down and we're out. But no matter if we're down in the valley or up in the mountain, that same Spirit is still in us. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. I'm going to start reading in Matthew 6. Let me get my glasses, me too. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? First thing, when things happen, we get nervous. We get anxious. We start wondering. July of last year, I had been doing the same job for 20 years at two different dealerships. I was at the first dealership, and I believe God brought me to the second one to do the same job because they called me. Wasn't looking for a job or anything. Didn't put my name anywheres, but God put my name somewheres. They called me. We interviewed, and I switched jobs. But that July 17th, for some reason I remember the date, and I remember it was about 2:30 in the afternoon. My boss brought me into his office. I had no, that was the furthest thing from my mind. And he told me that I was no longer going to be doing that job, that they were cutting back. I got kicked in the stomach so hard right there, I didn't know what to say. I sat there and I looked at him. I could have got angry, asked my family how angry I do get. But for some reason, I had a calm that came over me. I was sitting there holding my stomach, looking at Rick. He's my boss. And I had a hole in my stomach. I know someone has felt that before. But I had a calm come over me. And I asked Rick if he was doing okay. Because he had to tell a number of people the same thing that he told me. And I was honestly more worried about him. After he told me, he said, "You're more than welcome to stay here as a salesperson." What am I going to say? No? Sure, I'll do it. Whatever y'all want. Whatever y'all want to do, that's fine with me. But when I walked out that office, I think it was the Holy Spirit that brought back to my remembrance the three dreams I had before I started at Service Chevrolet. I had never walked into that old building. It's the previous building than from where we are right now. Never walked in it before in my life. And I had three dreams with me going into that showroom and walking into that office that I had. And it was the exact look as when I went for my first day at work. I walked into there and it was the same showroom. And somehow I knew how to get to that office. So I knew God put me there. All I had to do is be patient. How many people in here are patient? None of us. None of us are patient. We like that fast food restaurant and none of us get it. That night I called my family, my kids, and I had them come to the house and I told them the news. At that time, I didn't know it was good news. I honestly did not know it was good news at that time. I really thought it was bad news. I didn't know how we were going to pay the bills. I didn't know how we were going to put clothes on our back, just like it says in verse 25. I didn't know how we were going to eat or drink. I didn't know anything. And that's what we do. That's what we do. We go back and we let that devil start planting those seeds in our mind. And that's all I thought of that night. Didn't sleep much. Went back to work the next day and started back to work. I forget. And if you can go ahead and bring up that scripture in Genesis. I forget. Genesis 28:15. "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee." This was spoken to Jacob when Jacob had to leave. He wasn't, that just came out of the blue, just like my termination. But God told him, and the same God that told him over 2,000 years ago, talked to me. But just as God told Moses when they were journeying to Egypt, we are a stiff-necked people. We're the same type of people that the Israelites were when they were moving those 40 years. We're the same ones today. We're just as stiff-necked as them. I am. I don't listen. I hear, but I don't listen. That's two different things. And the pastor has been preaching on hear. Hear what he has to say to the church. We have to listen to what it has to say, and we have to abide by it. Aren't we as important to him as the fowls in the air, as the trees on the earth? It just continues reading, and we're going to go back to Matthew. We're going to go to verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" We were created for His joy, for His fellowship. God the Father allowed His Son to come to earth and be born of a virgin. For one reason only, His children. That we would have a way back to Him. And Jesus came down. He didn't have to do it. Everybody says He didn't have to do it, but He did it. He made a commitment to the Father that He would take what the Father wanted to do and He would do it. Commitment, you have to excuse me a second. I lost my train of thought. Commitment is no good without action. You can commit to God all you want, but if you don't do the action that shows that you love Him, it's not commitment. Jesus committed to the Father, took the beating, took the stroll up the hill, got nailed to the cross for us. So why would He ever leave or forsake us if He went through all of that? We have children. Most of us in here have children. We love our children. We'll do anything for our children. Will we take that beating? Would we take that long walk? Would we get nailed to a cross? I don't know. I honestly cannot tell you if I would, but Jesus did. And He loves us that much. So He's not going to put us on this earth, then go on your business and I'll go on my business. He's not going to leave us aside. And what a stiff-necked people don't want to learn is God had a plan for me. God had a plan for me. He was not going to bring me from a little town of Kaplan, Louisiana, 40 miles north to Lafayette, and then drop me off and leave me there. My God is better than that. Well, He didn't. But for 3 months, I fought and I fought. Everything I think I was doing was God, it was me. We need to study. I didn't study. I didn't fast. I didn't fast and pray. I took it upon Otis. Otis began leading Otis's life. When Otis begins leading Otis's life, it don't work. It just doesn't work. Once I came to Jesus' feet, and I actually laid down what had happened to me. Laid it down. He tells you to bring all your worries, all your troubles. He says, bring it to me. But do we honestly bring it to Him all the time? How many times have we brought it to Him physically and then took a piece and came back? Because you still have that piece. Come on. Come on, I can't hear you. You're not sleeping yet. I see all your eyes. Listen. When I left it there, I left it there for good. I gave it to Him. My countenance changed. Everything about me changed when I did that. I just went to work and I said, God, You're going to handle it. I'll do whatever they tell me to do. And I'm going to... Did we miss a meal? Look at us. That proves it by itself. Did we go naked anywheres? We did not go naked anywheres. Did we sleep under the stars? I kept a roof over the head. God kept a roof over our head. He kept food on our table. He did not leave or forsake us. But I believe sometimes he needs to show us something. I don't believe it was my boss that took me out of that position. And he was downsizing. He took somebody else that was there longer than me and he put him in that position. And I understand that. But I don't believe that thought came from him. I think that thought came from above. God uses unsaved people for his glory every day. I see it every day. So I believe God took me out of there so I can go back to school. Y'all understand what I say about going back to school? Going back to Jesus. Going back to his word. Because that's the only way you're going to know the plan for your life is in here. Everything is in here. So I didn't know it at the time, but I was going back to school. I did go back to school. And I learned a few things. How to talk. Some other things. But I started reading. It made a difference in my life, Marjorie can tell you. I was a lot calmer. I was sitting in my office one afternoon, and the owner of the place walked in and said, I want to start a new position. I thank God put it on his heart to come into my office. He said, I want to start a new position, and I want you to do it. Would you be willing? Didn't hesitate. Yes, I'll do it. Because I was in God's word then. I knew it was God. I didn't know it was Otis anymore. It wasn't Otis. It wasn't Rick. It wasn't the owner. I knew it was God. And that God, through God, I can do anything. Through God that lives in me. Forget. Don't ever forget. People of the world say you by yourself. How many times they say, oh, you alone? How many times they tell you that? That's the devil telling them to tell you that. Because he wants you to think you're alone. You're never alone. Born again Christian is never alone. They always have Jesus with them. Now, we're stubborn and we're impatient. I wanted that chili dog right away. I didn't want to wait 3 months for no chili dog. I wanted that hamburger right away. But he taught me things. He taught me patience. And how does it say in there? To gain patience, first you have to go through tribulations. And that's what teaches you the patience. I honestly don't remember where that is, but it just came to me. Patience. So that's why I don't pray for patience too much. Because the way he gives it to you and he teaches it to you is not the most favorite way to do it. Don't worry how you're going to eat, how you're going to dress. The Jesus that lives in you is going to make that way for you. I'm going to continue reading. I'm going to go to 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Those first 3 months, I was thinking and I was doing. And I wasn't adding a thing to me. Nothing. I was adding nothing. It's not about Otis. It's not about Pastor Joe. It's not about Marjorie. It's about the Jesus that lives in each and every one of us. And we need to learn. I need to learn to let him lead the way. We can walk on the side of him. We can walk behind him. As long as we're following him. We cannot walk in front of him. And that's what I was doing. I was walking in front of him. I was the leader. Until we learn that he is the leader. Now you can walk on the side of him. But you cannot walk in front of him. And that's what he wants. How many friends, when you walk in with your friend, Pastor Joe, you walk on the side of him, huh? Jesus wants you to be his friend. You don't want to be a follower in this world. That's the last thing you want to do. You want to lead with Jesus' help. So everywhere you go to the doctor's office. You go, kids, y'all go to the principal's office. You have Jesus on the side of you. You do. And he's going to take control. He's going to allow whatever needs to be done for his plan. He has a plan. So if he has to kick Otis in the stomach to make his plan work, that's fine with me. If he needs to lead me to prayer and fasting, that's okay too. I'm gonna say some prayers and I'm gonna fast. Boy, am I gonna say some prayers. I hate to fast. I'm sorry. That part is not my forte. But man, it feels so good when you're fasting and you're praying and he's feeding you. He's feeding you that word. It is, oh man, it is wonderful. And then you go a while without doing it. You forget that feeling. That's why you got to stay with him daily. You forget. That's why when I walked in at that office, I forgot he was sitting in the chair right next to me. I forgot when I was in that office. He had to put his hand, and I think that's the calm that I felt. That Holy Spirit put his hand on my shoulder, and I felt calm, and it wasn't about me anymore. Because Rick had to talk to a lot of people that day. I envy him not. I envy him not. Not a lot of them took it the way I took it. But I took it the way God wanted me to take it. 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon had the most wisdom that I know of any man in the Bible. He asked for it. He asked for it right. And he received it. But even with all the wisdom God gave him, he left himself open to the world. He left himself open to the world. Started having many wives. That's not God's plans. Just like us. No matter how many blessings we receive, when that temptation comes, we fall. And God knows we're going to fall. Just like in that song, he knows my name. He knew we were going to fall. He still went to the cross. He still took the nails. He took the embarrassment. He took everything for us. But he never left us or forsaked us. God was still on our side. He was still on our side. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clotheth the grass in the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? How did he tell that to his apostles in the boat when he was sleeping? O ye of little faith. They didn't believe he was going to save them. And he was right there where they can touch him. We don't have him to touch. We touch here. This is where he is now. In us. We're his temple. They had him right there. Seen him. Saw the miracles. Still didn't know. You either. I can't pick it up. It won't come up. You either believe all of this. Or none of this. When Pastor was preaching in Revelation, God would rather you cold than lukewarm. If you don't believe every word that comes from here, you're lukewarm. Become hot for the Lord. Become hot. Because He'd rather you not believe anything in here than just to believe a few sentences. Believe it all. I heard one time I was at work and I was reading my Bible. I read my Bible at work. And the guy told me, yeah, I only believe some of that stuff. I said, well, then you don't believe anything. He said, what? I said, well, then you don't believe any of it. You either believe it all or none. There's no in between. There's no warm. There's only hot and cold. So what you're telling me right now is you don't believe in it. Oh, yeah. Well, then you believe in it all. Go back to it. Study it. Don't stay lukewarm. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Some of these words in the King James Version is hard. It's hard. Oh. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have none need of all these things. He created us. He created each and every one of us, period. The sick, the unbeliever, He created all of us. When you create something, my son likes to cook, and he created some sushi. Thank you. And it was pretty. I mean, like restaurant style. Joe, he put everything in that. He committed to it and he put some action to it and it worked. It was delicious. You need to commit to Jesus the same way. Not just, because it's Jesus that helped him make that sushi. You got to give glory where glory is due. There's nothing, I heard this last night, there's nothing in you that's good that didn't come from Jesus. There's nothing that's good in you that didn't come from Him. Give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. Who would have thought a little man from, well, I'm not too little, but I like to call myself little, a little man from Kaplan, went to secondary school, never went to college, and could be working for the number one Chevrolet dealer in the state as one of their managers. Who would have thought that? I wouldn't have. God did. God put me where I'm at. I'm giving Him the glory. I'm giving Him the glory that I drive a new vehicle every 3 months. I give Him the glory that I get one tank of gas free a week. I give Him the glory that I get to purchase my wife a new car. I give them the glory that we can put gas in there. I give Him the glory that she can stay home and watch our 4 grandchildren. That she can run the errands so their mama can work and make a living for her family. I give Him the glory for that. I give Him the glory that I have my 2 daughters and my 3 grandchildren living with me today. I give Him the glory. I give Him the glory that I have a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old grandson that's not on drugs today. I give Him the glory. I give Him the glory that He can respect a young lady and like her. I give Him the glory. I give Him the glory that he's 13 years old and he's got good grades. I give Him the glory. That's what we need to do. I give Him the glory. Heather has a good job. She makes her way. I give him the glory that Leslie has a great job and raising them three boys on her own and not upset and not. I give him the glory. I give him the glory for my son Joseph having one of the greatest jobs, that he has a beautiful family, that he has a daughter-in-law I could not even expect to have, and a beautiful granddaughter. I get that says hi, Paw. But we did hear her say mama. We did. We heard her say mama. And that's what she said. See, I'm trying to make some brownie points. That's what pawpaws and momos do. They make brownie points. Verse 33, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's something I didn't do. Anytime you're in trials or tribulations, something comes up. You're in the doctor's office. You're in the front of your 16-year-old child and you're telling her that she needs to leave. Or 17. I don't remember how old she was. But you need to leave my house. You're sitting in front of your boss. Anytime when they tell you something you don't like, what would Jesus do? It's been on bands. It's been on. Seek ye the kingdom first. Seek ye the kingdom first. Because he's going to make it right. You're not going to make it right. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how many years you've been doing something, how many kids you raised. It's him that makes it right. It's him. And the last verse, I'm sorry. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When I finally took what happened to me to the cross. You can call it the cross or to Jesus' feet or to the throne. Once I took it and I brought it to Jesus and I laid it at his feet and I walked away, I couldn't see his glory. Until we totally give it to him, you will not see his glory. He wants you to completely give it to him. I have a 4-year-old grandson that runs around. I'm sure y'all all know him. He comes to his mother for things. That's what Jesus wants us to be, just like that little child. If somebody kicks us in the playground, throws dirt in our eyes, he wants us to come to him first. It's just that simple. There's nothing hard about it. There's nothing impossible about it. As long as we've been 2 foot off the ground, we went to our parents for everything. That's what he wants us to do. We'll never be too old to him. We'll never be too young for him. He wants us to come to him first, no matter what it is, no matter what. There's nothing too small or too large for him. We think more often that this situation is too small for us to bring it to him, that it'll work itself out. How many times do we do that? I do it all the time. How many times have we brought it to him, left it at his feet, and walked away that it was fixed? It was fixed. And as long as we kept it, it stayed. All I'm trying to do today is, in a nutshell, allow mercy to walk in. Y'all heard the song. He's there to walk in your defense. It could be the courtroom. It could be the boardroom. It could be your boss's office. It could be the doctor's office. It could be in your office with your child sitting in front of you. He wants to walk in. He wants to handle it. He wants to take your yoke and give you his, because his is light. He wants to take that burden from you. But you have to give it to him totally and walk away. Without you giving it to him totally and walking away, you'll never see his glory. You'll never see him fix it. And that's what you want to do. You want to see that glory of him having my boss walk up to me and say, you want to do this. And I say, yes. And man, my stress level went from here to here. I love my job. Even the owner said, man, I like to see you this way. You must really like what you're doing. I said, yes, I really like what I'm doing. But until I left it at the throne, totally left it at the throne, God couldn't do his work. There was no work he can do. The Lord doesn't promise us a trouble-free life. I took that out of the Bible, and it was under a verse. I can't remember what the verse was. But he does promise to deliver us. We are going to have troubles. We are going to have troubles. It's what we do with these troubles. Now, I know there's a lot of things going on in your lives. There's a lot of things going on in your lives today. This world is very hard to live in. It's very hard. The devil cannot read your thoughts, but he's got his angels everywhere watching you. They're watching you, and when you go to fall, they give you that every little push to make sure you do fall. They're there all the time, just like God is. God is with you everywhere. But until you give that problem, that situation, whatever it is that's hindering your walk with him, whatever's hindering, some people call it your Isaac. You ever heard that? Abraham had his Isaac. Until he brought Isaac and was ready to sacrifice his Isaac, God didn't know his heart. God found out his heart. Until you give up that Isaac, that you bring it to the throne or to his feet, you're never going to have a true walk with your God. He's going to still give you blessings and all that, but you're going to have that little area in your heart that's not going to be totally with him. I say your heart, but your heart's right here. That's whatever it is. And if it's okay with Pastor Joe, I want to open up the altar. And I want y'all to take that step in faith and walk up to the altar and give him that problem. Give him that problem. Totally give him that problem. Doesn't matter what problem it is. It might be that your fingernails aren't growing fast enough. I'm just making a point. It doesn't matter how small it is. It's still hindering that walk with the Lord. And he doesn't want anything. How many times does Charlie come up to you with very small things? How many times? But he still comes. That's what God wants, is a childlike heart in each and every one of us. That's not going to be ashamed. That's not going to be worried. That's not going to be going to step back, going to bring all your problems to Him. That way y'all can fellowship and y'all could walk like He did with Adam and Eve before they sinned. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for that perfect church again so He can come back. He's looking for that perfect church again. And as long as y'all have these things on your heart, it won't be perfect. He loves y'all so much. He would not have went to the cross for y'all if He didn't love y'all. Get that in your mind. He would not have. So I'm going to open the altars if it's okay. And y'all bring it to Him. Kneel down, whatever y'all may do. And allow mercy to walk in. And if it's okay, can you play the song again? Bring it. Bring it to Him. Don't hesitate. Nobody's going to look on anybody and judge anybody in here. That's not what the children of God do. The children of God prays for each other. The children of God love each other. No matter what clothes you wear, no matter how fat you are, it don't matter, none of that stuff. It's the children of God. Go ahead, Joe, if you can. And don't hesitate. And if y'all like one of us to pray with y'all, y'all just say. That's what we're here for. Thank you.